as we head into week 8 of the high school football season. Let's do our weekly check-in with Travis Wilson from BowlandWisconsin.com. A lot of exciting stuff happening on the football field here this week as we get towards the playoffs. Travis, first of all, tell us about Bowland, Wisconsin, and what people will find when they come to your site, which seems like it's evolving every single day.
Yeah, evolving, improving, getting better. This is a busy time of year, obviously, and people are looking for information on all the stuff that's going on. Football playoffs, how they can qualify, what that qualification is looking like, what the actual playoffs are going to be when they're released next week, conference races coming down the stretch, all kinds of information that people are looking for, and BowlandWisconsin.com is your home for that information. Obviously, wrapping up and ramping up to playoffs in football with all kinds of stuff there, but also getting ready for basketball as we've got basketball seasons built out, ready to go, and starting some content for basketball as well as we get into what we've kind of always called that changeover season, where there's fall sports wrapping up and winter sports that are getting ready to go.
Hey, Travis, since you brought up the playoffs here, I'm going to bring that up first here. The playoff matrix, obviously, that you've been able to help us link to. Now, the one we're seeing at Bowland, Wisconsin, is that not the official, but it is the same number, so it should be pretty close to being exact. Is that correct?
Yeah, the official playoff matrix points and playoff system is kept by the WIAA, and they have the last couple weeks have been updating that later in the week. I don't know when they posted their official update this week. It's been on Tuesday sometimes, Wednesday or Thursday, but the Wisconsin Football Coaches Association, in partnership with Andy Lavoie, who kind of put the system together originally, is publishing an unofficial update each week that we are posting on Monday nights at 7 p.m., where people can check that out. And AndyLavoie.com is a spot that we link to each week with the matrix update that has a lot of information for people as they're looking at what are the points right now? What are my tier one points? What are my tier two points? What seed am I looking at right now? All that's available. It is, again, it's unofficial, but it is matched up and it has been vetted and is matching up with what the WIA is releasing as well, which is good. That's the point. That's why it is continuing to be done, to make sure that the WIA has it right. But so far those two things have matched up.
Well, Travis, interesting in our area, obviously Beaver Dam's, won a few games here as they're getting healthy and they're sitting right on the edge of Division II, sitting at 32, and we had talked about, teams and records, because you're seeing right now in those matrixes teams with below 500 records that kind of are in the playoffs, maybe above teams that are above 500. And I think the team that's at 33, behind Beaver Dam is like 2-5 on the year. So it's interesting to see how those numbers are kind of working, but depending on who you actually beat as the season goes along.
Yeah, it is very much, based on and heavily influenced by who you did beat. So a team like Beaver Dam sitting at 4-3, but who did they beat? They beat a winless Fort Atkinson team, a winless Kewaskum team, a one-win Watertown team, and then a Kettle Moraine Lutheran team that's got three wins, but is a smaller division. They're D4, whereas Beaver Dam is D2 and is competing with other D2 teams for playoff spots. So your schedule really plays into it. And I think Beaver Dam potentially could be kicking itself with a couple of those early losses, including that one in Menominee Falls that probably would have clinched something for them, that were close and competitive, because now they're in a situation where I think there's a decent chance they have to win one of their last two games, either Port Washington this week or Plymouth next week, to get into the postseason, because they just don't have good wins on their resume right now. And both of those opponents present an opportunity for a good win. And like I said, it may take getting a win in one of those to get in, because otherwise there's just not a good win on their schedule. If it comes down to it, I think they're likely out unless they win one of those last two games. Although there's other variables at play, because you don't know what other teams will do. But They've got to get a good win at some point.
And the one question somebody had asked me to ask you was that when you look at the Andy Lavoie matrix, they have like regions like A, B, C, and D. Are those guesses or are those actually where these teams would be placed if they, geography wise, if they would finish in that certain number in a certain seed?
Well, part of the new playoff process this year is a different way to assign teams to regional groupings. Previously, it was a subjective process. Looking at a map of the 32 qualifiers and following a little bit of criteria, but somebody essentially drawing a circle or a big amoeba, as it were, of here's the eight teams that are going to group together, here's the other eight, et cetera. Now there is an actual designated process that is much more objective. The regions are still drawn with geography in mind, but now they're first and foremost, they are assigned based on the seeding and balancing out seeds. So all the number one seeds or the top four seeds overall in each division become the one seeds. The next four are your two seeds, et cetera. And then those are assigned geographically. So the eights match up with the closest one, the sevens match up with the closest two, so on and so forth. So it's an objective process that quite honestly, it should be what we see on the matrix right now. If the playoffs started today, you could change regions based on who gets into the playoffs, what seeds might change. There's movement that could happen within those regions from what we see right now. But again, as of today, if the playoffs started today, that's what the regional groupings would be. But again, they still subject to change.
Right, Travis Wilson, BoundWisconsin.com, joins us for a couple more minutes. One of the most exciting races in our area is the way the Eastern Suburban is shaking out. You know, Marshall kind of, we look like we were maybe going to be headed towards the two unbeatens in week nine, Cambridge and Markazan, but Marshall kind of put themselves in the mix after that meat grinder of a schedule they had early on by beating Cambridge. So you have Markazan unbeaten. You know, they brought back all 22 starters this year, and then you have Marshall and Cambridge both sitting with one loss in that league, and you know it's going to be interesting to see who comes out on top when this thing all settles in a couple of weeks after 2 weeks of football.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, Markazan's a team that has kind of fluctuated quite a bit the last few years. They were really good a few years ago. I went and watched them play. I can't remember who they played that week, but I went to Markazan for a game a couple years ago when they were really up. And then they've, you know, had some struggles. Last year, they missed the playoffs. They were 2-5 in conference, 3-6 overall. But as you said, really experienced football team that has come together and, sitting here undefeated, maybe a little bit of a quiet undefeated team. You know, I don't necessarily hear them talked about, as much as some of the other tops, Division VI schools. Part of that might be, you know, the Eastern Suburban has struggled a little bit outside the league. I mean, we just got to go back to last year when Cambridge was undefeated in a top seed and got upset by an 8 seed in the first round of the playoffs. So certainly Markazan is in a good position right now, leading the conference. You know, the old proverbial control their own destiny, right? But a couple tough games. They've got Partyville this week, who, you know, is not won a game in conference, but I think is better than probably what their record indicates based on, you know, how competitive they've been. And then they close it out with Cambridge. So there are some interesting games coming down the stretch. You know, again, Markazan's in a good position, but especially that week 9 game against Cambridge is really going to be, one that, that will potentially be a conference championship deciding game.
Yep, and we flex that game. We're going to be carrying that game on Daily Dodge TV. They're going to get Mike Tronson and Tim Haldeman for that game out there. Travis, any other big game before I let you go? Any other big games going on this week that that have the ear and the eye of people across the state?
Yeah, you know, we got a handful of really outstanding games last week, and there's some, again, on the schedule this week. We look down in the Milwaukee area, and once again, a huge one down there as Sussex Hamilton will take on Arrowhead. That's a crossover game with some conference bragging rights on the line between the Greater Metro and the Classic Eight. Generally, the Classic Eight comes out the better of those kinds of matchups. And then in the North Shore Conference, Homestead and Slinger will square off. Both teams are undefeated in conference play. Speaking of undefeated in conference play, another one of those matchups, a big one in the Fox Valley. Bayport, the defending champions in Division I, will take on West Appear, who is undefeated, the second-ranked team in Division II. There's some other really good matchups on the schedule this week that are essentially for a conference championship, where the teams are either 1-2 in the conference or both teams are undefeated. Other ones like that, Stratford and Amherst, La Crosse Central and Holman, West Salem and Aquinas. So a pretty good slate of games on the schedule this week. Again, with a lot of conference championships essentially decided this week.
Well, it should be a fun time. I know the 8-player football seedings come out on Saturday morning, correct?
Yep. With the change in the football playoffs for 8-player, expanded playoffs there, going from 16 qualifiers to 32. They changed the date of their start, so they started the same week as 11-player, but they only play 8 regular season games. So this is the final week of games for 8-player, including a team like Oakfield, who's had a very good season kind of over in that area. So they'll learn their playoff fate on Saturday, and then the 8-player postseason gets underway next week.
Should be fun time there. Again, Travis, we'll hear from you during football Friday night, about 10:30 on Friday night, I should say, on 1430 ESPN Beaver Dam, and then rapid reaction at BowerWisconsin.com.
Yep, absolutely. Make sure you check it out. Again, with all the playoff stuff going on, you're going to want to stay glued to BoundWisconsin.com this week and going forward into the postseason.
Travis, thanks for the time, and we'll chat next week.
Sounds good. Thanks, Wade.